1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. And I just want us to look at a few things this morning. Because God desires us to know Him, and there are things that He's given each and every one of us. Each one of us. He has a purpose, a plan. And He's got many things. But there's some things that we have to do to receive His promise. How many know that God blesses us, okay? He's already blessed us. He's provided the way. But how many know it doesn't fall on you automatically? How many have ever just woke up? Most of the time, I'm not saying He doesn't do things for us. He does, sometimes when we don't even ask. But for the most part, there are other things that God desires for you and I. But they have to be searched after. They have to be sought out. We have to gain something on the inside of us and follow that desire of our inward man to know Him and to search Him out. And that responsibility, hallelujah, praise God, we have a helper that helps us. The Holy Spirit. But that responsibility doesn't rely on God. There's certain things that are God's responsibility. And there's some things that are our responsibility. Because we work with Him. He doesn't work by Himself. Did you know that? Because He believes in you. If He worked by Himself, you say, well, He could do it. Well, He could have. But He has reserved Himself to work with mankind and through mankind primarily. He has. He said, well, God can do it. He's all powerful. He is. But He needs man's authority here on this earth to bring it to pass. See, our authority on the earth, just being a human, you have a certain amount of authority. He said, what? Yes. Did you know an unbeliever isn't just possessed with the devil? How come they're not all just running around possessed, so possessed they can't control themselves? Because the devil can't do it. He doesn't have that right. They can still say no. Yeah, no. Say, well, how do you know that? I've talked to people. Had a good friend of mine. He knew. You know. The devil tried to make him do something. No, I'm not going to do it. They don't have to. They have a will. We each have a will. You're just being a human, you don't have to do everything the devil suggests. Amen. Otherwise, what's the point of being human? It's true. There's a certain amount of authority on the earth just being a human being. Because otherwise, if that's not so, you know, God doesn't just come and possess everybody either. He doesn't just come down and say, well, you're going to get born again, period. No, 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 you don't have anything to say about it. No, 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 no. He said, whosoever will, let him come. See, the human will has something to do with it. Our desire has something to do with it. Our permission to let God operate in our life has something to do with our walk with Him. Hallelujah. Well, let's read 1 Corinthians 2. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. It says, and I, brethren, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech, my preaching was not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. So our eye, it says here, Paul is talking about the spirit of man. He says, I'm not coming to you and declaring you great swelling words. I'm not here with the wisdom of men. How many know there's a wisdom of men and there's a wisdom that comes from God? And sometimes man's wisdom says do this and God's wisdom says no, don't do that. And it looks natural. It looks good in the natural when you look at it. That's man's wisdom. That's a good idea. But it's not God's way. Hallelujah. Amen. Every way of man, he said, what looks like a man's way seems right to him. But sometimes, but the end thereof is what? Death. Sin. Amen. Causes death. And many times if we go man's way, it doesn't work out. Because we're just following after a natural means of trying to accomplish what God wants to do in our heart and in our life. Hallelujah. But here it says, Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm not looking for all the things that you know, but I want to know what you have and what you know about him, about Jesus Christ. He said, I'm looking to see where you are in Christ Jesus. What do you have? What determines our walk with him and knowing him? He says, I'm coming to you with weakness and fear and much trembling. My speech, I'm not coming to you with fancy words. In other words, it's not the great eloquence of man that produces the power of God or the presence of God. It is hearts that are turned to him that have released God to have authority in their life by saying, yes, Lord, I receive what you have for me. Now you can always, everybody says, well, I'm not sure I want what God has for me. Sometimes you hear, anybody ever heard that? You know, maybe you thought that. Anybody ever thought that? I don't know. I mean, maybe I don't want, but as you get to know him, as you understand what his promise is, as you realize that he has your best interest at heart, changes take place. Amen? Our minds are renewed with the truth of the Word of God. And he says, I don't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. How many know man's wisdom says, here's what I need you to do. What you need to do is build a nice, big area that draws all kinds of people so they can have a lot of furniture. You need a big coffee bar. That's the first thing. You know, and what you need to do, you need to take those chairs out, just set up some tables. Make it comfortable. Make them feel accepted. Well, we do make them feel accepted with the love of God. Because God doesn't cast anyone aside. Amen? However, when you begin projects such as that in the flesh, they amount to not very much because they bring people. Well, guess what? You got to keep that going. You have to work hard to keep them happy or they don't want to come back. Because you're appeasing to what? The flesh. I can make this church grow. I'm serious. We could have in the best preachers. We could have some nice concerts. Best of the Christian of this and the Christian of that. And I'm not against any of those things if that's how God leads. And we may have some of those things. But the most important thing was not the great wisdom of men and how the world does everything. See, the world appeases the flesh. But we're looking to man's heart to be changed. And that only comes by one thing, and that's the presence of our Father. And no work of the flesh, no amount of getting excited, no amount of great giveaways. You know, I know one church, they're giving away. Well, first they're giving away, you know, the bicycle. Next thing you know, it's the car and the TV. And the next thing you know, they got two cars. You know, come for a drawing. You know, and you have to keep, you know, and people are coming for a drawing, but are they coming to know God? You say, well, we're going to reach some people. And you will. But we're not looking for shallow conversion or someone that is just coming to receive in the natural. We're looking for changes of the heart. Amen? And you say, well, they're looking for that. I understand that. But the way it's created is not by making a big atmosphere in the flesh and making it all hyped up and so wonderful and great in the natural and getting people's desire of the flesh try to be met. Amen? Hallelujah. Their greed, their hunger for something. It's to be a hunger to know God. And when God's presence comes, how many knows? There's a difference. You see, I can't change the human heart. You can't change the human heart. But God's presence and God's power changes human hearts. And when the heart is changed, you don't have to ask people to come to church. Their heart and their desire begins to say, yes, that's what I want to do. I'm not saying we don't need to help people get in the habit sometimes. You know, somebody hasn't been in the habit of coming to church. But when they really give their heart to God and they're surrendered to Him, the heart has changed. I got to get back to that church because the presence of God dwells there. Hallelujah. Amen. And they feel that, they sense, I say feel, but really it's a sense down in our spirit. I mean, the reason I say that is I believe we do feel. We feel with our spirit man. See, the inward man gets satisfied. So you can come all day long, and if your outward man is satisfied, that's one thing. But when the inward man is satisfied, there's great contentment. Amen? God said, godliness with contentment is great gain. He said here that our faith doesn't rest in that wisdom, in the wisdom of men, in man's way of doing things, but in the power of God or the wisdom of God. He says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Or complete, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the prince of this world that came to naught. But we're speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, the wisdom here he's talking about, we speak what? Wisdom, not in the words of men's wisdom. Now that's what? The Word of God, but it's also our prayer in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Spirit. He brings that forward. And when we begin to speak out, we're speaking the Word of God. What happens? Faith is released. The Word of God. Those things come to pass in our life. The promises of God. We begin to find the truth of what God has for us and who He has made us, sons of the living King, joint heirs with Him, more than conquerors, because we can always overcome, because there's a peace that comes within. When we know the mind of the Father, when we begin to understand His wisdom and His way, it's hidden. Where? Number one, it's right here in the Word of God. It's really not hidden from us. It's hidden from those that don't know Him. Amen. But we know Him and we speak that mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, which was ordained for our glory, for our development, for our benefit. Amen. It did say God's. Yeah, it's for God's glory, but it says our glory. What is our glory? Our glory is the reflection we are of Christ. Amen. Our glory is those that hear that wisdom and are changed. Hallelujah. Which, okay, unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. None of the princes of this world. I believe he's really talking about the enemy here. If the devil, he didn't realize what he was doing when he crucified Christ. He didn't realize that Jesus is going to make a way that all men may know him. The enemy wouldn't have done it. The prince of this world wouldn't have gone through with it. But he had stirred the people. Amen. They think, well, it was just those people. No. Yeah, it was the Jews, but they were stirred. They were stirred of the enemy. Crucify him. Crucify him. Amen. The princes of this world, they wouldn't have done it. Amen. They wouldn't have crucified him if they realized what they were doing. Because that is what opened the wisdom of heaven to mankind and gave us a way straight to heaven. That's what gave us that. Amen. And the Holy Spirit was sent to come and help us to understand those things. It says, but it is not written, eye has not seen. Here he said, nor, okay, this is, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And we started out, see, the Bible says that God calleth, he calls deep what? Unto deep. And the deep things of God are the things that He wants to reveal. The things that He has revealed through His Son and has given to us. Let's look, but He's here and He's saying, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of man, really, our spirit, we search out the deep things of God. It's not just going to fall on us, but there's a searching that takes place from the inside of us. And then the Holy Spirit helps us in that search. What? By praying the mystery of God, the purpose of God out over our life. And we begin to understand what God's plan is and what His purpose is. Not just for our natural life, not just for the provision, not just for healing. We know a little bit about those things. But the things of God, the purpose of God for our life. Let's look over here in John chapter 16 real quick. John 16:12. Remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples here. And He's telling them. In John 16:12 He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He says, I've got many things. No, not a few things. He said, I got many things I want to share with you. Now, why couldn't they bear them then? Because they were not yet born again. They couldn't grasp it. They really couldn't understand it. But what are those many things? What are the many things that Jesus wanted to reveal to us? See, there's things that we still need to continue to pray out, to search out, to seek after, to know Him. Yep, like I said, we know a little bit. We know some things about being born again. Praise God, we're getting further along here and there. We're what? The righteousness of God in Christ. We've been made free from sin. We're no longer bound to it. Why? Because our nature was changed. Our heart was changed. We became that new person on the inside, the inward man. But so many times we get that backwards. You know, in Thessalonians 5:23, what did he say? He says, I pray that your whole what? Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. And a lot of times you hear people say, well, I'm body, spirit, and soul. Well, why? Because they're more body conscious. We tend to be more body conscious and not so much in our spiritual man. We need to be more spirit conscious. And that's part of why we talk a lot about praying in other tongues. Why? It helps us to be more conscious, excuse me, and helps our conscience too, but it helps us to be conscious of God's indwelling presence and of our spirit man on the inside, where we are to be what? Led. Not by the mind, not by the body, not by the feelings, not by our emotions, not by what looks good, not by man's wisdom, but by the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us. There is a leading that takes place down on the inside. Yeah, brother, but the Bible says the secret things belong to God. Don't you know that? That's true. It does say that. And there are some secret things. I said at the beginning, we don't know everything. There are some things that are none of our business in your life, in my life. There's a few things. But when we seek Him out, see, there's many things He said He wanted to share with us. Amen. There's some things, I agree. It's in Deuteronomy 29, the secret thing. Hey, I don't understand every single thing when it comes to certain other people's life. Now, when it comes to your life, you're going to understand. You're going to know. Why? Because He's one with you. You know Him. And you have that relationship with Him. Because some people will ask, well, why did so-and-so die and that one didn't? Well, maybe he had an intercessor. So, well, that guy had an intercessor and he still died. The secret things belong to God. There's a relationship that you have with God and the deep things of God that you share with Him that no man can understand, because it's a personal relationship. There's two kinds of things. There's that personal place with God. Amen. And certain things, yes, are secrets with Him and will remain there. They don't belong to everybody. But they belong between Him and that person. Hallelujah. How many believe that? You know, there are certain things. Are we going to understand every single thing in this life? Probably not. But we can understand things that pertain to our life. And we can go forward and let the Holy Spirit help us to what? Search out those things that pertain to us. The many things. Yeah, we're still searching out, like I said, the born-again nature that's on the inside. It's been transformed. See, on the inside of you and I, well, I didn't think I was going to teach all that. But okay, but on the inside of you and I is that spirit man. That's what makes this body go, is our spirit. Paul said, I'm in a what? He said, I'm in a quandary. I'm betwixt. I'm not sure what I want to do. He said, I could go and be with God, which is far better. But I've decided it's more needful for you that I stick around in this body so that the truth of what God has to say will be poured forth. See, you've got a purpose. I mean, if you don't have a purpose, then why are you still here after you got born again? We may as well just leave the earth and go on to heaven, right? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Everybody says, yeah, woo, glory. But that's our flesh. Because in this life, there are certain sufferings that take place and certain things that we have to decide. We're going to search out God. We're going to have to decide on the inside, am I going to hunger enough to know Him and His purpose for me? Am I going to lay down my life, as we said this morning, surrender all, right? Am I going to surrender my idea of what my life should be to pick up my cross and follow Him? Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, but the Spirit, He says here in that verse, the 10th verse of 1 Corinthians 2, amen, the Spirit has revealed them. And yes, there's some things that don't belong to us, but we're not to stay in that attitude. Amen. We don't have the attitude that, well, God's not going to reveal it, but He will. He may tell you some things that you pray about. He might tell you, well, that's not your business. He's told me a few of those things. That's none of your business. You're not responsible for that. That's somebody else. Especially when it deals with another person. Amen. He said, you come follow me. And the potential is there, but we must have that hunger for the things of God that God has for us, each one. He said, he that what hungers and thirsts after righteousness, what shall be filled? Now, if we don't, in other words, what would be the place if we don't hunger and thirst after righteousness? He shall not be filled, right? It doesn't say we'll be filled if we don't. If we don't do that, would we be filled then? Why would you say, if you clean your room, you're going to get a reward, right, to your teenage person? Son or daughter. Why? Mama says she's trying to bribe them a little bit. Amen. Or, you know, in other words, if you don't clean your reward, you will not, I mean, don't clean your room, excuse me, there will not be a reward. You're going to do it one way or another. But if you can clean your room and keep it that way on your own, then maybe there'll be a different reward. And God's saying the reward of seeking Him is that we're filled. We're filled with the wisdom of heaven. We begin to understand His nature. Hallelujah. God reveals these to us by measure. His plans and His purposes don't usually come all at once. Now, how many know His general will, the Word of God? We know that. We know that's His will, right? But there's a specific will that He begins to reveal to us as we mature with Him. It doesn't all come at once. We have to take step one. You know, and after step one, then comes what? Step two. But if you don't do step one, then we're going to be on step one, right? Everybody, a lot of times we want to go to step three or four or five. That's where I said, that's what I want. Oh, this is really what I want, Lord. He says, no, I need you here. And maybe He tells you, I need you over there. But that doesn't look like it's taking me where I want to go, Lord, or where I think you want me to go. What does that have to do? What do you mean? You want me to fast? Lord, you want me to pray and fast for a while? I don't understand. That doesn't look to me like it's going to get me anywhere. It doesn't look to me like that's going to cause the happening. What I need to do, Lord, you need to send me. I've got to get out. I've got to travel. I've got to move. I've got to get on the go, Lord. I'm called. You called me to do those things. That's what I see in my life. I don't see why staying here or being faithful to a congregation for a while is going to get me anywhere. And God says, I need you so that you can what? Grow up and mature in more things with me so that I can take you step by step to the next place in me. See, he don't take us from step one to step ten. He only takes us from step one, step two. Yes, I want you to do these things. I want you to be consistent in prayer. I want you to be consistent in reading your Bible. I want you to be consistent in serving God, in serving right where you are. I want you to be a consistent witness for me and display the holiness and the righteousness of God. Not just what's on the inside, but where it comes out where men can see it. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm trying to get you to display my glory. See, a lot of times we think exaltation is God is when he puts us in some place of authority and we're preaching the gospel or we're doing, you know, we're singing or whatever the call is on our life. We're teaching our Sunday school class and we're, oh, that's what's changing lives. And God said, I want you in me so that I can place you into a greater place of authority so that I can train you and you're not going with man's wisdom, but with the wisdom of heaven and the wisdom of God revealed to you step by step, line upon line, precept by precept. And so that you take the truth and not what you think I want, but what I desire and can come forth with fruit that shall remain. Whew, hallelujah. That's the news of God. That's what God wants for you. How many want to be successful? See, success is not what everybody puts it out to be. Success is when we follow him every day. Today, Lord, you have a plan for me. I remember I preached a funeral of this lady. Her son got up, gave the testimony. Said, yeah, call mama. Can you give me a ride today? She says, I don't know yet. God might have me on assignment. I'm not sure. What? No, I'm not sure yet. She said, I'll know a little later, but I don't know right now. I'm still praying. Many days, he said, you know, a lot of times she'll call me. No, I can't give her a ride today. I'm sorry. I'm on assignment. I got to go somewhere. Got to go talk to somebody. Got to go. Do what he has said first. Not that we don't help people, but we love him what? First. To be his follower, to be his disciple, to be one with him is what? To love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, with all of our strength, with all that we are, where we love him more. Then we love our sons and daughters, our husband or wife, more than we love our own life also. And where the church has been many times is we're running around in circles trying to fulfill God's call by doing it the way that the world does things and not the way God does it. God's ways are not the same as man. His ways are seeking, hearing him, following him one step at a time to where his power, Paul said, can be displayed. Where we're not there just playing a game. And if I'm in the way and if my flesh is dictating to me, if it's holding back God from reaching out and displaying himself, then I need him more than they need me. Wow. Whew. I didn't know I was going to say that, but that was good. Because we do. We need him. Why? Because he is the one that reveals anything in our life that stands in the way of us exercising our authority, exercising what his desire is. We have to say, I surrender. I surrender all, Lord. I worship You. You are Lord of my life, and I'm going to prove it, Lord. I said, well, prove it. Yeah, He proved Abraham, didn't He? He wants us to bring forth fruit and repentance. Amen. That's worthy of Him. Amen. We bring forth the fruit that will remain. See, we remain. And all permanent change comes from that inward man, from the inside, from us searching Him out. It comes from a place where knowledge is revealed. Not just what's in the Bible. That's most important. But also what's in our heart and what His purpose is for you and I. You have a purpose. You have a plan. What is our part? Our part is to seek Him out and to discover what He's called us to do. Sometimes it's like, oh, it seems obvious to me. And it may just be the opposite. I know what He's called me. And you may. But the way in which we even walk it out has to be Him. See, you may call people to be a teacher. Well, what kind of teacher are you? I know a lady right now. She was so excited. God's called me to be a teacher in the public school. I thought, dear God, I'd never want to do that right now. But she was excited about it. This is the call of God on my life. To be a testimony, to be a light in the public school. I thought, wow, isn't God awesome? Wow. I thought, man, that's as important as any other job, anybody else in the body, because we need people, what, everywhere in every walk of life. We need to remember that. Sometimes He calls us, hallelujah, in different areas. And we need the light of God and the wisdom of heaven and the power of God, Paul's saying. But it has to be sought out. Are we hungry for Him? Are we surrendering to Him? Are we really willing, saying, Lord, I lay down. We say, oh, I lay down my life, Lord. But I don't have time right now. I know I was going to pray today, Lord, but, you know, I know You understand. And one day goes by, and then two, and next thing you look up, you said, oh, Lord, it's been 2 weeks since I've really spent any quality time with You. And I'm not condemning anybody, I'm just saying. Time is the enemy's work. He wants to steal it from you. Well, we all have the same amount of time. So, well, you got more time than the rest of us. Yeah, I do. I'm blessed. But you know what? It's still the same enemy still comes. You know, he can get you busy in the ministry too, you know. So busy. Busy, busy, busy. I got to call this one. I need to call that. I got to do this. Got to do that. Got to have this ready. Get the heat on. Doesn't take very long, but you know, you add up, you know, and pretty soon, you know, well, I can't quite, you know, the thing is, you know, I can't quite etch out that much time for prayer. You know, I don't have very much time, but I got 3 hours every night to watch my favorite show. Uh-oh. Or to be on your, whatever it is, your Facebook page, your electronics things that, you know, you say, oh, well, I'm limiting myself to 20 minutes a day. I'm just telling you, Pastor Doug, I am, you know, but really you're trying to limit yourself to 20 minutes and you spent 2 hours because I just lost track of time. Now we got some people laughing over here. Hey, hallelujah. What's that mean? You understand? You know, and so anything in our life that's stealing us from searching Him out. Amen. We want to lay down. We want to surrender all. Let's stand up this morning. Get that song, Joseph. I Surrender All. Is that available? Or can you bring it up a minute? Let's sing that. Let's just surrender our hearts again today. Make a commitment to search Him out. To seek Him for those many things that He wants to show us. To go a little bit deeper with Him. To find healing and the truths thereof. To find that prosperity that we so long for. Yes. To find those things, but to find the purpose of God for our life. To say, Lord, I surrender. Here's what You said. No matter what, Lord. And sometimes it hurts to surrender. Hurts our flesh. Amen. Go ahead, Joseph. Let's sing this and let's just surrender one more time. Hallelujah. To searching You out, Father. To knowing You with all of our heart. All of our soul. All of our strength. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Lord, bless each one, Lord, as we go, Father, from this place, as we fellowship and eat today, Lord, we thank You. We give You glory, we give You praise, and we give You honor. Hallelujah.